WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Christine Baranski, is starring in the new sitcom Welcome to New York and co-starring with Jim Carrey in the new movie Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. She won an Emmy Award for her role on Sybil Shepherd's sitcom Sybil as the witty and erotic best friend. She's won Tony Awards for her performances in Neil Simon's Rumors and Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing. In Welcome to New York, Baranski plays the witty, neurotic, and successful producer of a TV morning show in New York. On the first episode, the show's new weatherman has just arrived. He's from Indiana, and she's worried that he doesn't look or sound New York enough and he'll never fit in with the Manhattan elite. And looking right is all important to her. In this scene, the weatherman, played by comic Jim Gaffney, is having his first meeting in her office. She's wearing a telephone headset and midway through their conversation takes a phone call.
Please sit down. Everyone is really looking forward to your Garrison Keillor-esque approach to weather.
He's from Minnesota.
Who?
Garrison Keillor.
Oh, yes, I love him. How is he?
I don't actually know him.
But he's from Minnesota.
I'm from Indiana.
Oh.
Look, the reason I want to come in a day early is so that I could run some ideas by you.
Yes?
Like, instead of a 5-day forecast, how about a 7-day forecast?
No, I don't want to hear about it.
I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't.
No, no. No, tell him no. You were saying?
You're talking to me now?
Yes. Actually, we were talking about your jacket.
I don't think so. Remember I was talking about the 7-day forecast?
I was thinking about your jacket. Amy, can you call Jerry and see if he can squeeze in a fitting for tomorrow? We're going to get you set up.
Are you getting me clothes? I've always chosen my own wardrobe.
No, Jim, we do not want to change you. Just your clothes. Amy, maybe give your face the illusion of color.
Christine Baranski, welcome to Fresh Air. It's a pleasure to
have
you here.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here. Thank you.
You're an executive producer of Welcome to New York. Does that give you some degree of control?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, I asked for that specifically so I could protect myself. I wanted to be able to say no, that's not good enough, or that's dumb, or that's not the kind of humor I'm interested in doing, and I want it to be heard when I said that. Fortunately, I don't feel I have to voice that control very often, because I really adore my writers. I think they're terribly smart. They have a lot of taste and style, and I love collaborating. I'm from the theater. I would say most of my career has been in the theater, and so one of the greatest joys in the profession is collaboration with other talented people. And I think being an executive producer allows you a greater degree of collaboration.
Had you had experiences on Sybil that made you think it was important to have control so that you could draw the line when you wanted to?
Yes, I didn't have. I wasn't an executive producer on Sybil, and I did question things or have difficulty with choices, and it was clearly not my place to, you know, express those concerns. I mean, I could express the concern, but I was not in a position to wield power. So in the wake of that, I did ask for that that title.
What are some of the difficulties of doing a line or doing a scene that you just don't believe in?
Yeah, you know, that is a difficulty, and I think television's a very fast, it's just such a fast medium. You know, in 5 days you have to do a show. You go to the table, you read it, they rewrite it overnight, you get a new script, you begin blocking it, they come to a run-through, they rewrite it again. You hope there are the changes that will finally kick a scene into position, but the bottom line is you've got to learn the material and go in front of cameras in 5 days. Sometimes you have a 4-day work week. Sometimes a script is almost completely rewritten We've actually, on Welcome to New York, done a 3-day work week when one script was totally revamped. So I think what I'm trying to say is there's not a lot of time to agonize over it. I mean, you can question it, you can say I'm not comfortable with it, but I think it's got to get up and out there rather quickly. That's why I think it's terribly, terribly important to, from the start, align yourself with people that you trust, whose taste that you trust, whose fundamental sensibility you are in sync with.
Now, in Welcome to New York and in Sybil, you've played neurotic, kind of snobbish characters. When were you first exposed to people like that?
I love this. Well, I hate to say it, but I think when I first came to New York, I'm a Midwest girl. I mean, I consider myself, like, Buffalo is the beginning of the Midwest, and I'm actually from Cheektowaga, New York, which is a suburb of Buffalo. And I came to New York in 1970. I got a scholarship to Juilliard, and that was just such an amazing transition to go from an all-girls Catholic high school in Buffalo to Juilliard. So the answer to your question is certainly when I came to New York. And I don't even think I began playing these kind of characters until maybe my 30s. I would say the first real character that had that kind of hauteur that I played was Charlotte in The Real Thing. Although I had done Sunday in the Park with George, that was another haughty aristocratic character. And that was the workshop of Sunday in the Park. Stephen Sondheim and Mike Nichols saw me in that. And then I was cast shortly thereafter in The Real Thing. And then it's sort of continued in my career. Not that I only play those characters, but I seem to play them a lot.
Well, these are characters that have money and live in a world where stature is very important. What social economic class did you grow up in?
Well, gosh, I would say we were very much middle class. Grew up in Cheektowaga. My father was...
It's a kind of industrial suburb, isn't it?
Yeah. My mother worked at an air conditioning factory called Buffalo Forge Company. My dad died when I was 8. He had worked on a Polish newspaper, but he died when I was 8, and my mother had to go back to work, and she worked at a place called Buffalo Forge, and I was something of a latchkey kid, my brother and I. She had to work very hard to support us. I got ballet lessons once a week, but that was all we could afford. I wanted to play the piano or learn the cello, and my mom said we couldn't afford, the instrument or the lessons. And I grew up with a sense that, you know, one had to work very, very hard, and that money was tight. We weren't poor by any means, but we didn't have luxury. So I got into acting, became my passion by the time I was about 15, 16, and then I had read about the Juilliard School. It had just opened in 1968, so I was the third class in, and I got a scholarship there and still had to live very, you know, close to the bone. Mom was working very hard to send money and try and keep me in New York during those years. So I wasn't, like, living the Upper East Side life until much later.
Were you exposed to much theater in Cheektowaga?
No. You know, the funny thing is my grandparents were actors in the Polish theater. There was a Polish community, you know, very large Polish community in Buffalo. And my grandfather was an actor, and my grandmother saw him on the stage and kind of fell in love with him. And then he met her and fell in love with her and wooed her when she was 16, wanted her hand in marriage, and he had to wait until she was like 18. But they married, and they did Polish theater, and my grandmother was in operettas. I have a wonderful picture of my grandmother. She was a very vivid woman, and I lived with her. We shared a bedroom in my childhood. This is before my dad died, but We shared a room, and she's a very vivacious woman. She had a radio show in Buffalo, a comedy show she wrote with another woman, and they played two comedic characters. And so she was a writer, and after my dad died, we moved away, and I didn't live any longer with my nana, but I think she was a huge influence on my life. And to answer your question, I didn't see a lot of plays, but I remember going to concerts. We heard Polish concerts, and my most vivid memory as a child, and I often think it's the reason I am a performer, is shortly before my dad died, I was taken to the Polish ballet, a Polish singing and dancing group called Śląsk was appearing at Klein Hans Music Hall, and I went alone with my father, and he was sitting to my right, and the concert was just filled with beautiful Polish music and dancing, and he was a great lover of Polish culture. And at the curtain call, now I'm about 7 years old, I was 7 years old. At the curtain call, my father was so overwhelmed and moved that I remember he was a very large man, very, very tall, very well-built man. At the curtain call, he started shouting bravo, and there were tears streaming down his face. And I was so embarrassed. I poked him and I said, Tatush, you know, like, stop, you know, you're embarrassing me. And it was such a moving, now in retrospect, I'm just very moved when I think of my father's, you know, love for those singers and dancers. And I often think, you know, this little girl watching her father, you know, looking up and seeing him crying and shouting bravo, I kind of went into performing, and I often, that moment resonates with me very often.
Even though you were embarrassed by him at the moment?
Yeah, yeah. I was very moved by it. And my own children, when they go to the theater with me, I also get very emotional, and I see my children poking me like, Mom, don't embarrass us by crying, and don't shout bravo, and you're cheering too loud. But it's kind of gone full circle.
My guest is Christine Baranski. She stars in the new sitcom Welcome to New York. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Christine Baranski is my guest, and she's starring in the new sitcom Welcome to New York. Now, you went to Catholic school. Your character in Welcome to New York, and also your character in Sybil, they really like clothes. You probably had to wear a school uniform when you were going to Catholic school. What was the uniform like, and how did you feel about wearing it every day?
Oh, God, it was so dreary. I can't tell you. Every night of my life, I had to iron these white shirts. You had to wear a crisply clean ironed white shirt and this navy blue uniform that when you knelt down, the hem had to touch the floor. Those were the rules. And we had to wear nylons, and we had to wear black loafers. And that was the code. And we would, you know, iron the shirt and then iron the uniform. And, you know, by the time I graduated, my uniform was just shiny. I mean, the whole backside of it was just pure shine. But it was so dreary. Yeah, you've reminded me now of, like, those utterly dreary years of wearing a uniform.
It must have been great to be on stage and not have to wear the uniform.
Well, the joke was that we'd leave school, and after we got a block away from school, all the skirts got hiked up to mini length. You'd see all these girls teasing their hair, applying their frosted lipstick, and walking out of the school looking like sluts. But I always say Catholic girls make the most erotic women, because there's so much that has to be suppressed or attempts to be suppressed that just translates into eroticism.
Now, you were the salutatorian in your high school class. That's the second in command to the valedictorian, right? So you have
you
the second highest grade in the class or something?
Oh, no, I don't think I had the second highest grade. I was a salutatorian because I was president of my class.
In fact,
I was president of my class, if you can believe it, for 4 years in a row. And I had been president of my class since the sixth grade.
Wow.
And I think that was not my great intelligence or even leadership skills. I think it may have been that I was rather fearless getting up in front of people and talking. And well, of course, now I'm an actress and I fearlessly get up in front of people and talk.
Now, at the end of your high school years, you did work with this acting workshop affiliated with the university campus. And this was in the late 60s,
yeah,
as you were saying, when things were pretty radical on the campus, the arts as well. There's a lot of avant-garde art on the campus. And I'm wondering if you got involved with avant-garde theater and if there, like, what was the most far-out thing that you did during that period of your life, acting-wise?
I did, in my senior year, I was part of something called the Company of Man, and it performed at the old Pierce Aero Plant in Buffalo. It was this huge hangar and was like a warehouse. And I did a play by a man named James Cheville called The Master, and it was a two-character play. And in the play, I was being kind of indoctrinated by this older man into being what it meant to be an American. And I wore an American flag as a mini dress, and I wore this with high white boots. It was really very sexy. But what I remember most about it was being told that if the police came, I had to hide in the bathroom because it's, of course, illegal to wear an American flag, to desecrate the flag. But those were the days when, you know, people were really doing serious anti-war pieces, and there was really an avant-garde, and there was a lot of passionate talk about another kind of theater. You know, this was the Living Theater and Joe Chaykin and the Open Theater. I actually took workshops with the Open Theater. They came to the University of Buffalo, and I remember seeing Joe Chaykin and working with the Open Theater and hearing Jerzy Grotowski speak. And it was actually like my career could have gone a whole other way,
right,
except for the fact that I got into Juilliard, which was it was just very different. I mean, those years stopped for me of doing avant-garde theater. I began doing classical training, European classical training.
Now, you've also done some singing. You sang in an Encores production in New York of the Burt Bacharach musical Promises, Promises, and you performed with Martin Short in that. That was just a really delightful production.
Yeah, it really was.
Mm-hmm. And you also did a production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd in Los Angeles with...
Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah. So how much do you like singing on stage, and how often have you done that?
Well, I love singing on stage. I actually have studied singing for years now, and because my career has concentrated so much on acting, and I got a late start in training my voice. If you can believe it, I went to the famous Juilliard School of Music and really hardly took any singing. Did not concentrate on developing my voice at all. It wasn't until my mid-20s that I began studying singing and then discovered that I had a very rangy voice. I have like almost three octaves. I have like a high mezzo-soprano voice. And at one time, I became so enthralled with singing. I was just taking singing lessons every day and then listening to opera recordings and learning arias, and worked a lot on classical singing and studying Lieder and all. Now, people don't know this because I don't actually get up and sing opera or Lieder, but it's been a ongoing passion of mine, this kind of singing. And right before I did Sweeney Todd, right before I was asked to do Sweeney Todd a few years ago, Skitch Henderson asked if I would be the guest soloist for the New York Pops opening night concert. And he said, you can sing anything you want. And I actually did get up and sing the Seguidilla. And I sang a beautiful foré piece. And it was just a thrill. I mean, standing with an orchestra and singing, doing this kind of singing that I'd always considered so much a part of my life, but never really got much expressed, you know? And then it was great to have that kind of training as I began work on Sweeney Todd, because I think you really need a very well-trained voice to sing that score.
One last question. I understand that you were at the canonization of Mother Catherine Drexel.
Yes.
And is it right that your husband is a distant relation?
Well, not that distant, actually. She's a first cousin twice removed.
Wow.
He remembers her from his childhood as Cousin Kathy at his grandma's house. His grandmother was a Drexel. His grandfather, great-grandfather was Joseph Drexel, and that was the brother of Anthony Drexel. And Catherine was a niece of Anthony, and she founded this religious order called the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, gave her entire inheritance over to Native and African-Americans out west and established schools and hospitals. And she was canonized, and we were in Rome in October with many members of the Drexel family. And, yeah, we were outside in St. Peter's Square. It was quite amazing. I mean, I was sitting next to my husband who said, "Wow, Cousin Kathy." I was like, wow, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, that is. I'm sure everybody in the Catholic school you went to would have been mighty impressed.
Yes, those nuns, they would have been a little easier on me had they known I was married to a relative of a saint.
Oh, really? Well, Christine Baranski, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was lovely. Thank you so much.
Christine Baranski is starring in the CBS sitcom Welcome to New York. She also co-stars in the new movie Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.